Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Happy Monday. It's a Sports Hub installment of the Groundhog Variety on FSA. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with video, per usual, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Well, that rodent said we've got six more weeks of winter, so take that for what it's worth. And speaking of rodents, I'm Tukes, joined alongside by Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are things?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself this morning?
Not too shabby. Looking forward to a day where we can recap the weekend that was. Do you put any stock into the imaginary rodent that is Punxsutawney Phil?
Oh, no, I do not.
The six more weeks of winter business?
No.
No. Yeah, I don't either. Nor do I. I think it's just kind of one of those deals where it's just something to talk about, I guess. It's fun. It's a good movie, for sure, with Bill Murray.
I was just going to say, that's the only thing I really think about when I hear Groundhog Day. I think of the Bill Murray movie. Great movie.
Very much so. It's not snowing. It's just a couple of flakes. Yeah, that's a classic. It's an all-timer for sure. And looking forward to a busy week of Sports Hubs here on FSA. It's officially Super Week, which makes me excited. Seahawks and Patriots, Super Bowl 60, of course, coming up on Sunday. And I tweeted out last night, once Super Bowl Sunday is in the rear view, man, it's going to be kind of like the doldrums for yours truly, because Lord knows I'm not watching the NBA.
Yeah,
I'll be counting down, I guess, the days until opening day for baseball. I'm looking forward to baseball. Baseball is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
March Madness is going to be stress-free for me this year. My Marquette men's basketball team, not very good.
Really?
So they're not even going to make the team. They're not even going to make the tournament. So unless they go crazy in the Big East tournament or something like that. But yeah, it's going to be kind of a long, long couple of months.
Yeah, it is. You got to maybe pick up the NHL.
Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah, you might need to pick that up because it's a good race right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of teams that aren't usually that good, like the Buffalo Sabres.
Sure.
And the San Jose Sharks that are actually relatively decent. There was a game outside yesterday. You see that?
I did see that.
The Bruins and the Lightning. Also, my alma mater, Penn State, they had their first ever outdoor game at Beaver Stadium.
Oh, very cool.
Which was really cool. Penn State played Michigan State. They lost the game, but mm-hmm. That was 75,000.
That's amazing.
At Beaver Stadium watching outdoor hockey.
What's more amazing, 75,000 for that or 90-plus thousand at the Nebraska volleyball match from a couple of years ago?
Well, I think that's a good comparison. I'd probably say that volleyball because, I mean, wow. I mean, the cool thing about the outdoor hockey deal was how cold it was and people didn't care.
Sure.
It was like, hey, we're there. This is the first time they've ever done it. Hockey Valley is what they call it there at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
They just opened it. They got one of the best arenas, the Pagola Ice Arena, which, I mean, they used to never have Division I hockey until, I'd probably say, relatively recently. It's probably been within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really neat. They got one of the best players in all of college hockey, too, with Gavin McKenna. But, yeah, needed to give them a big shout-out for that. I wish I was there. That was, like, one event where I was like, I wish I was at State College for this.
I do like hockey. I do. And I will say I'm a very, very, very big fair weather Chicago Blackhawks fan. You know, when they're in the cup, I'm all in. You know, when they're out, I'm like, eh, who cares? But the Wild are okay. You know, they're having a pretty decent season, right?
Yeah, they got Quinn Hughes, too. He's like one of the best defensemen in all the NHL. They traded for him not too long ago, and they're actually having a pretty nice year. So maybe we'll have to follow hockey, Tukes.
You know, that's not a bad thing. I do like hockey. I do like my Aberdeen Wings hockey as well. Cy, I'm sure, had a blast this last weekend on the mic there. Matter of fact, we'll even drop in some audio for you later on in the program. Big weekend for them at home. Big weekend for the Wolves at home, collectively going 3-1 for I Hate Winter weekend. A couple of games on Saturday I looked at on paper, and I said, you know, the Wolves really have to play a great game for a full 40 minutes to win this game. The Wolves really need to play really well for 40 minutes to win this game. Talking about the men and the women, both. And they both won. I thought to myself, on paper, SMSU coming into Aberdeen, they are finally, potentially, with this team this year, going to put to bed a 12-game losing streak against NSU at the Barnett Center. On paper, they had a pretty decent chance for that. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about that place. And I Hate Winter weekend. It's kind of like Northern going down to Wayne America. They just can't find a way to get it done. That's like SMSU here in Aberdeen. It's wild.
Yeah, something about it. And I mentioned it before we went off the air on Friday that this was a big weekend, and I Hate Winter for both the men and women couldn't have come at a better time. And
yeah,
they produced in a big way, going 3-1 over the weekend. How about the women's team with that awesome win there on Friday and then backing it up with a great win on Saturday? Huge weekend there for the Wolves, and they needed it there at home. And big shout out to those teams bouncing back after a tough one on the road last week.
And both teams have positioned themselves in a decent spot, not a great spot, but a decent spot to potentially maybe even host the first round of a playoff in the NSIC Conference Tournament. Of course, the top four teams, they get a first round bye. And 12 teams make it, of course, overall. So top four is a bye. Then it's 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. And I'm not going to do the old if the season ended today. Oh, who am I kidding? I can't help myself. Top four would get a bye. Mankato, Duluth, UMary, and CSP. SMSU is the 5. Winona is the 6. The Wolves would be the 7 seed right now. So they would host, see, 8, 9, 10, they would be hosting St. Cloud. So we'll see how that all works out. The Wolves did not play very well against St. Cloud the previous weekend, being held to a season-low 39 points. But the way that crowd brought the juice there on Saturday in particular was awesome. And the Wolves, you can make an argument, they went 3-0 over the weekend. The Baseline Babes, they did their thing.
Yes, they did.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That has got to be a part of the 605 Top 5 Plays of the Week. I sent an email to Cy. He's putting that together. And I said, I don't care where you put this. This has got to be a part of the 605 Top 5 Plays of the Week. So stay tuned for that. But, boy, they had themselves a great weekend.
Yes, they did. And I mentioned it. They got to be the ultimate home court advantage. The fans got to bring it. They got to have the atmosphere, and they certainly did. You know, Coach Kruger put out a couple tweets and Facebook posts about how key that was to the success of this crew. And, you know, to come away with that momentum win there on Friday, I thought that was so key. Great drive by Fiedler to get in the paint and score that. That really sparked, I think, what the weekend was going to look like ahead for the Wolves. They won that game there. I'm like, you know, they're going to be tough to beat tomorrow here, too.
I thought to myself, could you have the opportunity for a letdown on Saturday against a quality SMSU team? Because we saw that a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. What a win for them against Winona. Really, really good team in Winona on Friday night. And then on Saturday, CSP, they just couldn't get anything accomplished on either end of the floor. And then on Saturday, they came out all guns a-blazing against SMSU. The crowd had something to do with that, I think. You get a couple shots to fall in early. And it was just a really, really great weekend for the Wolves of Northern State, men and women alike. We'll talk about that at length later on in the program, certainly. He is the Cobra. Let's go ahead and get to the jump here on FSA. And again, we are in the midst of Super Week, which means we've got a lot of things to look forward to this weekend. Vikings fans, I don't know how the Vikings approach this week. Maybe with a new general manager, for sure. That much we do know. As Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was fired here this last week, he was shown the door, gave him a pink slip, saw this on social media. Quote, per an inside source, the Minnesota Vikings front office and GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and head coach Kevin O'Connell were not on the same page with the direction of the team, and there were typically would be fireworks between the two, and that's also in quotation marks. The same source said that the entire front office wanted Sam Darnold back for this year, but Kwesi did not. Also, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah typically did not attend the Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, or any other college games, which is very rare for an NFL GM, close quote. So, definitely interesting. And when this popped on Friday, I texted you. I said, what's the first thing you think about? And you said what you said. And I said, I think it's the fact that Sam Darnold's playing on Sunday, and they are not.
Yes. I thought the big thing was that press conference that we played here.
That's right.
And we played that clip, and he didn't have a direct answer when the reporter asked him, is J.J. McCarthy your starter? I thought that was it. But then when you read a little bit more deep into it, a lot of it, because Justin Jefferson was on a show on a podcast talking about it as well, when Sam Darnold left for Seattle, and you see the success that he's had here with the Seahawks, and he's playing on Super Sunday there in Santa Clara, that's going to ruffle some feathers a little bit. And Kevin O'Connell and the GM didn't see eye to eye, as you talked about, and they picked the side of the coach, and they picked the side of the other front office, and they said, see ya, sayonara. So now, I'll tell you what, there's pressure on this team moving forward. Big pressure. Big time. You know, you didn't think about it maybe this year. Hey, you got the quarterback, McCarthy. Let's see what he could do. There's pressure for this team now. And you're going to start saying to yourself, is this O'Connell, is he the guy that everybody says he is? I mean, I think there's legitimate questions that need to be answered this upcoming season for the Minnesota Vikings. Do you go in with McCarthy with no competition? You can't do that. You got to bring in a veteran. Mm-hmm. And you got to make a guy like Justin Jefferson happy. I mean, he's the best player on your team, best receiver in the NFL. You have to get him somebody that can throw him the ball. And I don't know if that's going to be McCarthy this year or whoever it is. They got to get it right. There's pressure on this team to perform. You can't go 14-3 with Darnold, and then they ended the year okay. I mean, they went 9-8. They won the five straight. You gotta make a run at this thing next year. There isn't any question about it. Pressure on this team.
I'm with you. I think there's a lot of pressure. I think that's a very, very fair point. And what's that old expression? Pressure is a privilege. We'll see if the Minnesota Vikings can come back and become a playoff team this upcoming year. Good news for them is they will have a lighter schedule because of where they finished in the division, so that'll help. But a lot of question marks, I think, going forward with that team. And one thing that we do know for sure is that Brian Flores will be back. He did sign that, I thought I saw, $6 million a year contract.
Wow.
For him. So pretty cool deal there for him as his pocketbook gets padded. Speaking of Super Sunday, the Seahawks and Patriots both landed in California there yesterday. The Seahawks were sporting T-shirts saying, "We did not care." Remember that?
Yeah.
from Mike McDonald? I thought that was fantastic. And if the Seahawks win the whole thing, I might have to get me some.
Yes, you do. You
might have to get me myself, myself one of those. Very, very cool. Saw this on social media over the weekend as well. As on the college basketball front, North Carolina State, they have like a, I don't know if you'd call it like a strength and conditioning sort of
coach?
Not coach, but a conditioning test, more accurately. Like, you get all the players, they run to each end of the gym, and okay, you got a conditioning test. And NC State, they tie their players together at the hip for conditioning. Everybody makes time or nobody makes time. It's all tied together with, like, these elastic bands.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea, bad idea? What do you think about that?
I think that's a pretty good idea. I think it can help a lot with the defensive side of things being cohesive on that end. I'm completely fine with it. I think it's a little bit unique. Everybody's trying to find different challenges with the whole fitness side of things, so I'm here for it. I don't have a problem with it.
I thought it's definitely interesting. It's like Phil is always not making time. Come on, Phil,
yes.
Like, pick it up.
Yes.
So we're all in this together, so kind of interesting. So you're either we're all in or we're all not quite making it. Also saw this over the weekend. Absolutely insane. Providence Academy's Madden Greenway became the fourth player to reach 5,000 points in state history there in Minnesota. She joined the 5,000 point club. Congratulations to Madden Greenway there. And she hit the three-pointer at Blake Arena. Her sister Beckett assisted with the milestone bucket there too, so pretty cool moment.
Saw that, thought that was pretty cool that the sister was able to assist her on the three-pointer there to get her 5,000 point. I remember we were talking about her a couple years ago when she reached 1,000 points. It's like a sophomore or something crazy.
Maybe
like
it was 3,000.
3,000 points. And we're like,
wow.
Wait, we got two more years of this?
Yeah.
So I did see that, and she's getting a lot of love there on X and social media, and that's just a different type of player when it comes to what you see on the basketball court. She makes everything look so easy out there, and you know it's a lot of hard work and dedication that happens, and pretty cool to see that her sister was able to assist her on that last field goal.
Of course, committed to Kentucky there as well, but 5,000 career points. And oh, by the way, for what it's worth, in the game they won 115-53. 115-53.
She a senior now?
I believe so. I believe this is her last year there at Providence Academy, and her numbers are just off the charts. Like, she's playing on easy, and everybody else is playing on like All Madden or something like that.
Yeah,
but she's on easy street, and the numbers are just insane. So, I mean, we'll see what she does at the next level, but. Can you imagine putting – that's 5,000 more points than I ever scored in high school.
And it's just one of those situations where if you're playing against her, what do you even try to do defensively? You pray. That's what you do, because you can't go to a game. And I feel like you'd ask the question to a coach, like, hey, what's your biggest key? Well, slowing her down is not going to happen. So how do you kind of stay in a game when something like that's going on?
Hey, we felt we did a really good job against her. We held her to 32 last night. Like, what?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Keep her under 30. We might have a chance.
Sheesh. 5,000 career points. Pretty amazing. Coming up next around these parts, we're talking some hashtag SD preps, a loaded weekend scoreboard on the high school girls and boys basketball front. We're going to talk at length about I Hate Winter Weekend that was for the Wolves of NSU. Again, collectively going 3-1. Northern State Swimming and Diving, Northern State Wrestling, Northern State Track and Field, GPAC, Frontier, NSIC. Basically, everything was hot and heavy this last weekend for sure in terms of the action on the hardwood and mats and all those sorts of things. And oh, by the way, don't forget National Signing Day is coming up this week Wednesday. And a programming note, we'll have head coach Mike Schmidt. He'll be joining us live on the program as well for a Wolves midweek. So looking forward to that. And of course, don't forget the ice. The action was going on the ice this last weekend, and the Wings have positioned themselves with a big weekend upcoming, and now a big weekend in the rearview mirror, picking up all 4 points against a quality opponent. We'll talk about that and more coming up. Sports Hub continues for a marvelous Monday. Start up to your next month of February. Today is, of course, the 2nd. Get those rent checks paid, those mortgage payments taken care of if you've not already done so. Punxsutawney Phil says he saw his shadow. Did he see his shadow? Not see? I don't.
He did see his shadow.
Whatever it is, it means 6 more weeks of winter.
Saw a shadow. I got a couple texts from the family.
Okay, yeah.
Aunts and uncles, mom, dad, they were like, hey, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, so we got 6 more weeks of winter.
Does your family usually check that out, or they before?
Oh, yeah, they're about it. PA, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
How far away is that from your old stomping grounds?
It's a little far away, but it's in the state, so I always, you know, Aunt Janet, Aunt Debbie, they were all about it this morning.
Brought the scrapple with them.
Yes. The scrapple's big in our family, man. It is. You've had it. It's good.
I have. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great.
I didn't make it as a part of the sandwich, but if your parents ever do come back out here, tell your mom to bring it again, and maybe I'll make it a part of the breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, though. Big fan.
Big fan of the stuff. All right, high school athletics from the weekend that was. Let's take a look back at the hoops action on Friday. The Aberdeen-Roncalli girls, fresh off of their win on, was it Tuesday? Tuesday of the week against Groton?
Yep.
Yep. They took care of business there on Friday. On the road from the Big Red Room at Britton Heckler's place, 58-15. Riley Voller with 11. Morgan Helms with 9. Eliana Roach with 9. Just kind of a workmanlike performance there for the Cavaliers.
Yep. Defense was great, and they're just getting contributions from everybody. Eliana Roach has been phenomenal here as of late. Kind of as that 6th, 7th person off the bench. They got a deep squad. You came off an emotional win there against Groton. You had some time off, and Britton hasn't had the best year when you talk about their record, so that's kind of one where you got to go in, take care of business, and move forward. And Roncalli right now sitting pretty good in Region A, in our Region 1A. So you got Groton, you got Milbank there right behind them. But right now, things are looking good for the Green and Gold girls basketball squad.
Have you heard who they're playing coming up this weekend for the DAC 12 clash?
I have not yet. I'm still waiting on that from Coach Larson, but that will be announced here most likely today at some point.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I usually am a part of those like email chains and what have you. We get those games and schedule sent to us, I have not seen. It's not to say it's not out there yet. I'll have to do a little more sleuthing. But on the road at Milbank's place coming up later on here this week, that'll be a tall task for them. They're a 10-2 club. Aberdeen Roncalli, of course, they've played a very solid season to this point anyway, but a tough road test for them coming up on the road this week.
Yep, and that's a great test for them. Now, Milbank has had a really good year, and they're a good defensive team that they can also – They're very similar to Aberdeen Roncalli in a sense that they come at you in so many different ways. So I think you're going to see a low-scoring type battle there, and it's going to come down to which team's going to be able to make the run. And we saw Roncalli do that in the fourth quarter against Groton. That was a one-point game going into the fourth, and they were able to make that run and that separation. I think you're going to see something similar like that. It's going to be very back and forth, but which team is going to go on a 8-2, 9-2? 10-0 run, which I think could happen in a game like this. They're moving forward.
Looking forward to that. And officially, the DAC 12 NEC Clash Girls pairings are set. That's officially out. Our thanks to our friends over there at 605sports.com for that. Ryan Deal, he is certainly a friend of the program. Looking forward to seeing him in about a month and a half or so. At the main gym there, Roncalli will be taking on West Central. That'll be a 2:45 tip-off there down south. So we'll have the video for that, I would surmise, on HubCityRadio.com and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen YouTube page. At the Auxiliary Gym, Madison against Bonham at 11, EPJ against Redfield at 12:30, Vermilion Battles Duel at 2, Dakota Valley v. Sisseton 3:30, Canton against Groton at 5 o'clock. In the main gym, Del Rapids against Mopo, that'll be a fun one, 11:45 in the morning, Tri-Valley v. Milbank at 1:15, the aforementioned Roncalli matchup after that, Sioux Falls Christian against Clark Willow Lake at 4:15. That'll be good. And then Lennox against Hamlin at 5:45. Didn't those two teams just play each other last week in Hamlin?
I believe so, yeah.
And Hamlin went 2-0. So that's interesting how they pair those two teams up against each other like
twice,
12 days apart or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. That is a little bit odd. But it came down to the wire.
It was close.
A two-point game. I think it was 56-54. So
low 50s,
that'll
yeah.
be a great game coming up there, but I am surprised they pair them up again. I guess that's just how it is. They want the best games there, but back to the Roncalli side of things, that West Central team, they're number 8, they're 9-4, and Roncalli, I think if they could get that win on a neutral site, that could be huge for them. They got that first big-time win, I'd say really nice win against Groton. Mm-hmm. If they beat Milbank and then they beat West Central, watch out. I mean, they're going to be right there. That should be a great game there on Saturday.
Looking forward to it. How about the Aberdeen Christian Lady Knights? Back-to-back wins for them this season as they defeat Sunshine Bible there on Friday night, 32-21. Jolie Fogarty with a game-high 14 points. Sophia Eichler had 10 as well. Low-scoring affair, but hey, doesn't matter how you get the job done, just have more points than your opposition. I think that's the name of the game, and at least in basketball anyway. And good on them, back-to-back wins for the Knights.
Yep, and again, it wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. And when you hold a team to only 21 points, more times than not, you're going to come away with a win. They didn't score that much either, you know, 32 points in 32 minutes, but they just did enough defensively to come away with their second straight win. Shout out to the Knights.
Elsewhere of note, you had Northwestern get past Lankford on the road, 45-36. Ashley Haven, a team-high 15 points in the win. Peyton Marlowe, 17, not enough there for the Lankford Lions in the shortcoming. Blake Thompson, game-high 20. Mopo was all over Chamberlain, 64-20. Guys' side of things, Chris Beavers drops 19. Clark Willow Lake was all over Redfield, 84-28. Emerson Larson with 15 in the win there. Chamberlain, they got past Mobridge Pollock 52-50 in a game that went down to the wire. DJ DeSlover had a game-winning jump shot. Did you see the video of this, by the way?
I saw the post-game interview.
Okay.
With DeSlover. I did see that post-game interview, and he was pretty jacked up there, the interview. Pretty good stuff there, but I did not see the play.
This was eerily similar to the Rio pass to Madeline Bragg.
Oh, yeah.
From last year.
When they beat UMary.
And this pass did not reach the player. It was the exact opposite. It was like the same play kind of designed, and Rio threw that ball over her head. Maddie high points it, puts it in, beats the Marauder squad. This time, the inbound guy throws the ball over his head, goes off the backboard, almost goes into the basket, kind of lipped out.
Wow.
And the ball fortuitously bounces to the guy on the wing. He takes the game-winning jump shot. And I'm like watching that. It's like sometimes it helps to be lucky as well as pretty good. But I don't know, man. It was a pretty wild seen there for sure.
The fact that you have the focus to catch the ball there and get the shot off in time is incredible because you don't know where that ball is going to go. Like you said, a play like that takes a little bit of luck, and they got the luck and they came away with a win. But it was a look at this here.
So guy's getting ready to throw it in. There it is. It's in. Then he goes off the backboard and nearly in, and then the DeSlover grabs on the baseline and knocks down the jump shot. I mean, that's the ball literally almost goes into the basket.
Yeah, it probably should have went in. It was halfway in.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem with that is Mobridge Pollock, you know, the 14 there, he was way underneath the basket. You know, if you look there, he's kind of creeping in. The ball just goes right over his hand. So that's where the situation where, for Mobridge, that's a teaching moment for coach right there. Like, you can't get too far underneath the basket because that's how that play was even set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got too far underneath, and then the shot there was I'll tell you, he didn't need to do that because he had 2 seconds. You know, he caught it up and got it off in time, but I think he could have even set his feet a little bit more. But, hey, it went in, and that's a great win.
Did I say Chamberlain over Mobridge Pollock? I believe it was Timberlake over Mobridge Pollock, 52-50. But congratulations to that Panthers squad. Pretty wild finish, that's for sure. And Ryan Deal tweeted that out. And big shout-outs to Ryan. Multiple shout-outs to him on the same segment. Good stuff there from Mr. Deal.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, he's doing his job, and, you know, we found out what's going on here. But that's a great play, I got to say.
Pretty wild. It was Northwestern getting past Lankford 45-36 as well. Ty Bucklehide had a game-high 21 in the win. And on the Saturday slate, you had Warner all over Sully Buttes, 49-21. Katie Mackner, game-high 19 points for the Monarchs in the win there. North Central gets 20 from Amory Vandervorst. They would defeat Timberlake 50-33. Other matchups of note on the guy side of things, you were on the mic for the Roncalli-Northwestern matchup there. I was talking to Jordan Beck at the studio here before my tip-off, and I was like, what's going on with that Roncalli game? He goes, hey, this one's going down to the wire. About 3 minutes left to go. Roncalli was up by 2. I said, okay, this is going to be pretty close, and it was, but Northwestern came away with a 61-54 win. Talon Miller, game-high 18 points in the win for the Wildcats.
Yeah, he was the difference. He just hit every big shot that they needed to down the stretch. He got an N1 at the end of the game. It was 52-50, or 53-50, Roncalli, too, because this is unbelievable here. They had a three-pointer that swirled out from Fisher. Then Olsen had a putback that just missed. The ball gets tipped out to Hernandez, wide open from the top of the key, and he missed it. Long rebound, long outlet pass. Roncalli's not back on defense. They get it up to Miller, and one, and that was pretty much the game. It was 55-50 after that. They tacked on a couple free throws there. But I mentioned it was going to be what team was going to execute down the stretch, and Northwestern was the team that executed down the stretch there. Roncalli could have put the game away. You know, you talk about winning a game in a first half. Roncalli could have put more points up and gotten up by double figures. They get up by a dozen. It was a 9-point game. It was 23-14. And I remember 4:02 left in the first half. I literally said, this is where the game is going to be, I don't want to say won or lost, but if Northwestern wants a chance to win this thing at the end, this is where it's going to happen. They go on a 13-4 run to end the quarter. Miller hits a buzzer beater from three at the top of the key, banked in three from the top of the key, 28-27. Then it was back and forth the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I said as much on the Kurtz Motorsports halftime, this is going to be a fight from here on out. I thought Roncalli missed an opportunity to get up maybe 12-14 points. They've gotten some foul trouble. Hernandez had 4 fouls. Quentin Shelton had 4 fouls. So they had to go a little bit deeper on their bench in that second because they both picked up their third, and Northwestern was able to take advantage. But I'll tell you, Tukes, that Northwestern team, very good. Very good. And they kind of remind me a little bit of Leola Frederick, just not as deep.
Yeah.
Like their starters go up and down the floor really well. They don't sub a lot, so I feel like they could get in situations where they just get worn out. But Will Clemens, Talon Miller, Ty Bucklehide, those guys are really nice players for the Wildcats.
Coach Redmond got in a lot of steps when he first became the head coach there for the Northwestern squad. Kind of a similar situation. I got to tell you, when I watched him coach, mm-hmm. I was calling a game, it was Northwestern versus Redfield a couple of years, well, more than a couple of years ago now. But he was going up and down that baseline, yes. Not baseline, but sideline. He was like the pacer out there. Got in a lot of steps.
Oh, he's a pacer. He's animated on the sideline. Yep. He rocks a suit as well.
I appreciate that.
They had suits there on the sideline. But mm-hmm. there was a moment there where Will Clemens, he gets the ball, and he's in transition, and he did a behind-the-back pass to transition. He flipped out. And then he got a foul on the other end.
Sure.
So he got a foul. So it was a turnover behind the back into a foul. Mm. And all you hear, and you can hear it on the broadcast, is, Will, come on!
Yeah.
And he didn't take him out of the game. It was like, hey, he had a great game, Clemens. But he didn't take him out of the game. And that was like one of those things where he's a sophomore. He's leading. And it's like, hey, you got to work through this here. We need you. And he came up big with a couple big plays. But Coach Redmond, he gets his steps in, and he's animated. And you love to see it. And I talked to him before the game, and I asked him kind of what the difference was maybe from a couple years ago to now. And he said the big thing this team is doing is just learning, mm-hmm. like learning how to play team defense, learning how to work into their sets on offense, learning how to win. And you look up, they're 9-3. With a Class A win against Roncalli, you'll take that. Nice job from Northwestern there.
No question. Elsewhere, you had Timberlake get past North Central 52-50, that is, despite 18 points from Kobe Wary in the loss for the Thunder. Ipswich was all over Highmore Herald 49-21. Jackson Holt with 15 in the win. Warner gets 21 from Noah Bakeberg. They get past Sully Buttes 66-60. Wesley Whitler in the loss had 23 in the contest there for the Chargers squad. And a loaded slate from the DAC-12 and NEC clash. Let's go ahead and look at that very, very quick, like before the next commercial break here, which is rapidly approaching. And three games on paper in particular I was really looking forward to, and all three of them were fairly lopsided. Groton, they lose to Vermilion 71-50. Carson Zack had 25 in the loss there for the Tigers. Tanagers with a 21-point win there. Clark Willow Lake, they lose to Sioux Falls Christian. That was an 11-point game. It's not lopsided, but Sioux Falls Christian, they kept him at arm's length for sure. Chris Beavers had 17 in the loss there, and then it was West Central over Hamlin 69-48. Connor Mebius with 29 points in the win there for the Trojans.
So what that tells me is West Central and Sioux Falls Christian are the teams to beat in Class A. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought that could have been Clark Willow Lake, and I'm not saying it can't be. And I'm not saying it can't be Hamlin, a team like them either. Mm-hmm. But the 1 and 2 teams in Class A are just a little level above, you know, a team like Clark Willow Lake and Hamlin at this moment in time. Which I didn't think coming into that Hanson Classic. I saw Clark Willow Lake live. I'm like, who's beating this team?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the team from West Central and the team from Sioux Falls Christian certainly are just on a little bit of a different level than those two teams.
Just a cut above those guys. Coming up next on the show, we're going to hit on some of the high school news and notes from the wrestling side of things. The Aberdeen Wings with a really nice weekend for them at home. And we'll see if they can parlay that into a 4-0 homestand. We'll have to wait and see. That plus we'll talk I Hate Winter Weekend about the Wolves also coming up. Sports Up continues for a marvelous Monday. Punxsutawney Phil says 6 more weeks of winter for those of you that pay attention to that sort of thing. He's Cobra, I'm Tukes, and we've got two more segments of Sports Hub here today. We'll go with that, certainly. High school athletics from the weekend that was. Check it all out on our website, hubcityradio.com. A great weekend for the Aberdeen Central wrestlers. It was the Lee Wolf invite there with a lot of local squads, and the Central girls, they would finish in first place collectively as a team, and two first place finishers there as well in their respective weight classes. Ditto for the Aberdeen Central boys for their respective Lee Wolf tournament there on Saturday from Golden Eagles Arena. Golden Eagles would finish in first place 128.5 points ahead of the rest of the field there. Actually, I take that back. Let's see. A little shorthand math. A couple of points above their second place field. Watertown was at 182.5. Aberdeen Central was at 248.5. five there. Ben Root was outstanding at the shorthand math. He is a wizard, man. I am not. But my Marquette math, not as good as his brain. But nevertheless, congratulations to the Golden Eagles of Aberdeen Central for the girls and boys, respectively. One, two, three, four first-place finishes for the Golden Eagles in their respective weight classes. Job well done for the Golden Eagles.
So they were 66 points ahead
Thank
of Watertown.
There. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, their quick calculator there kind of came through in the clutch.
But, yeah.
Yeah, 66 points ahead, and the Aberdeen Central boys. I know Coach Bowden always looks forward to Lee Wolf, mm-hmm. and they want to perform really well. And the fact that they get, it looks like here, four first-place finishes is big time. I mean, that's coming out, ready to go. You're always looking forward to Lee Wolf, and you go out there and you perform at the highest level. Big shout-out to that squad there. And, again, we've talked about this before. It seems like outside of when they play Sturgis, mm-hmm. they dominate. And this is something that you're looking at. You're 66 points ahead of Watertown. And that's a big gap there. So if they can close the gap, and, you know, use this as fuel to maybe close the gap against a team like Sturgis, watch out. But I know Coach Bowden was definitely happy with how things shook out at Lee Wolf.
Elsewhere from the weekend that was, the Aberdeen Wings back at home against a very quality opponent in the Bismarck Bobcats. A 5-3 triumph there on Friday night. Matthew Martin found the back of the rope twice. Can you pay it off and get all 4 points on the weekend? Well, you need a big effort there on Saturday. It was kind of a goalie duel, if you will. Low scoring, physical, as it always is with Bismarck and Aberdeen. And 2-1 your final score as the game was coming down to the wire there in overtime. And this is how it sounded on 94.1 The Rock.
Wings control, far side circle. Looking for a tip in the slot on the doorstep of the paint. Couldn't convert. Wings still with possession. Smarty leaving. That's actually Cool. Now far side circle, below the goal line. Back to Cool. Anderson fires a shot and he scores! Cooper Anderson with his second straight game-winning goal! And Aberdeen sweeps Bismarck at Meoni!
2-1 your final score there. That's Cy Evanuk, voice of the Aberdeen Wings, on the play-by-play. Pivotal weekend for the Wings there at home. Minot's rolling into town this upcoming weekend, but to get two against that team, that's big time.
They needed it, and I think it was one of those situations where you look at the standings and Bismarck there at the number one spot, Aberdeen in the top three. You have to see if you can get a split, great, but if you can get a sweep, watch out. And a game comes down to the wire in overtime, and if you remember that double overtime marathon in the playoffs last year, they weren't able to get the goal, and they had all kinds of opportunities. I know it's regular season and overtime, it's a little bit different, but when you can get that goal in overtime, when I think of overtime hockey, you have to, when the opportunity is there to put the puck in the net, you have to do it. And this is an opportunity where Anderson, he gets the puck in the high slot and rips one past the goaltender for a quick goal and a game winner. Like, you're not going to get a better look than that. So if you don't bury there, that's where the pressure sets in. Like, oh, we set something up great, and then maybe a team like a road team, that's where you see a lot of road teams, they steal one because a play like that happens where it doesn't go in the net, and you're sitting there, and that's where the game can just go and go and go. So big-time win for the Wings there, picking up the overtime win. And shout-out to Anderson when he had that moment, putting the puck behind the goalie for the game-winning goal.
If you have a chance to knock somebody out, you swing.
Yep.
And if you swing and miss, then you just gave your best shot, and the other team gains a lot of confidence after that.
And I think it's so crucial in hockey. Like, that is so crucial to me, at least. This is the way I think in hockey. Like, you know, if you're in the playoffs or a game like this, a big game, and you have a chance to put the puck in the net, whether you're got a wide open rebound on a kick save by the goalie and it's on the tape, or you get a pass in the slot like Anderson did. If he misses the net there, you know, Bismarck maybe comes down and scores right there, and you're sitting there like, oh my gosh, is this how this ends, really? So big shout out to Anderson there, taking it, you know, rising to the occasion at a moment like that.
We'll talk a little I Hate Winter about the Wolves after this. Final segment for your marvelous Monday installment of The Hub on FSA. He's Cobra. I'm Tukes. Live streaming video on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. And smash that like button. Give that a share as well. Talking some Northern State news and notes. not going to have all the time in the world to get to the track and field and the wrestling and the swimming and diving. So check it all out on our website, hubcityradio.com. Northern State Wrestling going 1-1 over the weekend, all over SMSU, 48-0, and then splitting with Mankato there on Saturday, 21-16. Great news from the Wolves track and field squads up there in Grand Forks. You can check it all out on our website, hubcityradio.com, and J.C. Flockhart finishing in 19th place down in Vermilion on the diving side of things. Northern State from the weekend that was on the hardwood for I Hate Winter weekend, a 73-72 win on Friday night for the ladies over USF. This was a game, it was back and forth, and it kind of looked like USF might run away. Then it looked like the Wolves were going to run away. Then it looks like USF's going to steal one. Then the Wolves found a way to steal it. I mean, just twists and turns left and right. Game had everything you'd want as a sports fan. Izzy Moore doing everything you want from a basketball player. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals, filling up the box score. She was outstanding, not only Friday, but also Saturday. Big win for the Wolves on Friday to kind of set the table for the weekend.
Yeah, and you said it, I think, on Saturday's broadcast. Northern goes as Izzy Moore goes offensively.
Yeah.
And when you get 26 points from her, you know, the others are going to follow. And you mentioned the back-and-forth game. Looked like the Wolves were going to win it there. Fiedler gets the layup. And, you know, there was a little bit of drama there at the end of the game. Oof. Wasn't there just the ball going out of bounds? And then, you know, Sioux Falls, I don't think they knew how much time they had left because they took a dribble there. And before they got the shot off, which was surprising to me when I went back and watched it, it's like the game recognition there wasn't great from Sioux Falls. You got to get a tap off there. They dribble, and you know they ran out of time. But that was a huge win for the Wolves. That's the second time they beat USF this year. Longhager was better for Sioux Falls. She had a ton of turnovers the first time, but this was a total team win. You know, you got to think practice was tough this week. Obviously, you're coming home for I Hate Winter and the environment and things of that. But Coach Kruger, she wasn't happy with how the team played there last weekend. So you know it was a tough week of practice. You got your mind right, and you played a really good game against Sioux Falls. And you mentioned it to start the show. How do you follow that up? Well, they followed it up in a good way.
No question about it. And we'll take a look at that in just 1 second. But first, 21 of 23 from the free throw line to win that game there on Friday night.
Full circle moment.
Absolutely. And how about Reagan Russ going a perfect 8 of 8? Sioux Falls, by the way, for what it's worth, they missed 7 free throws. And they are, I think, going into that game, second in the NSIC in terms of three-point shooting percentage. They were 18% from beyond the curve. So some things had to kind of shake your way. I think a lot of that says about the Northern State defense. That was just all over USF late. Krista Longhager, to your point, great game, but with .8 to go, put the ball on the floor rather than going straight up with it. It happens, and we've seen freshmen make those plays all season long. Oh, boy, I thought I had more time. Or I had more time. I should have made something else happen. We saw that in Moorhead when Reagan Russ got the ball with like 2.5 seconds left, jacked up a three at the end of the game. She thought she didn't have any time and then just shot it. And
that was an awkward spot to inbound the ball too, didn't you think? Like that far corner?
Yeah, to the left there.
Yeah.
That's where the ball went out of bounds there last. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great game. Very, very intense. Very, very competitive. Northern comes away with a 73-72 win. And to your point, how do you respond after that? 26 points from Izzy Moore. The Wolves defeat SMSU 74-66. Reagan Russ with a dozen. Morgan Fiedler and Megan Counts each with 8. And it's cannonballs away for the Wolves as they jump into the hot tub afterwards. Great, great win. Great weekend for them. A perfect 4-0 this year against SMSU and USF collectively. A couple of sweeps.
Yeah, and those are good teams that you're sweeping.
Yeah.
And Izzy Moore, I mean, she could be up for player of the week.
Should be.
I mean, what she was able to do this weekend was incredible. And it just goes to show the grit, the guts, the resiliency of this team. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, it feels like they're just going to be in every game they play. They had a couple slip-ups against two good teams, but they are just a resilient team where, you know, I don't want to say when their backs are against the wall and you think, hey, maybe they're fading a little bit, they come back and come up in a big way. So big shout-out to them.
No question. Season low, 6 turnovers as well in that game on Saturday against SMSU, and also holding them to 23% shooting from beyond the curve. This is the best team in the NSIC this year, statistically speaking, defensive three-point shooting percentage. So it's a great equalizer, but that's what the Wolves do the best, is guard the three-point arc on the women's side of things. So great weekend for them, and also chalk up another win for them. We don't have to talk about Friday too much for the Northern men because they fell to USF 80 81-65, and we're also up against the clock here. But the Baseline Babes, they forced an air ball there on Saturday against SMSU, which was awesome, by the way. But also coming away with a 70-63 victory was the Wolves' offense, kind of clicking a little bit, not quite on all cylinders. Coach Wilbur made kind of a wisecrack postgame. He's like, yeah, our offense was, you know, we got to 70. And he's like, well, they'd love to be 80 and higher. But Marshawn Smith, 27 points and 7 boards. Nelson Reynolds didn't miss a 3 on 4 attempts. He had a dozen. James Glenn had 10. Josh Book had a career-high 10 assists. It was clicking offensively there for the Wolves. And Book had a tough shooting performance, but down the stretch, drilled a crucial 3 from the left wing to go up, I think, 6 points at the time. So quality win for them on Saturday.
Yeah, bounced back really well there Saturday. I know we were giving Coach Wilbur a lot of grief there this week, you know, with the I Hate Winter. You know, they were wearing all black and things of that. And the team played pretty well there on Saturday. And like you said, if you can hit those crucial shots, it's what it comes down to. Northern State men's basketball, they're going to live and die by the 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived by the 3 there on Saturday. They didn't shoot it well on Friday. I mean, you said we were texting a little bit back and forth. Just, you know, if that part of their game isn't hitting,
yeah,
they can be beat. But if they shoot the ball a little bit better and hit some crucial timely 3s, they can be a tough team to beat. And big win for them at home. They're playing competitive, good basketball. And to come away with a split against those two teams, you'll take it.
11 of 23 from downtown on Saturday, 47.8%. And Coach Wilbur really challenged the guys following shoot around there on Saturday to say, hey, no one's going to come into this gym and outwork you. You guys got outworked last night against USF. That can't happen again here today. And they were just quicker to every single loose ball. Looked like that challenge was accepted by the Wolves, and great win for them on Saturday, and cannonballs away into the deep end of the hot tub there as well. Toby, you'll be yours, straight up cannonballed in that place. It was awesome. We're back at it tomorrow.